Transylvania University Department of Theater presents the first installment of Carmilla, a Vampirus radio play adapted by Ali Amade, original story by J. Sheridan LeFanu.
The first event that I can remember from childhood produced a terrible impression upon my mind. I forget all my life preceding that event, and sometime after it is also obscure. But these scenes stand out vividly as the isolated pictures of the phantasmagoria surrounded by darkness.
Sleep, my Laura. There, child. Mother is here. I will protect you. What are you doing here?
I came for you, my love.
Someone might see you.
Mama?
Shh, Laura. Go back to sleep.
Who is this?
No. Don't.
You mean to stop me? I just want a little taste.
Please. Not my child.
Then come with me right now.
You cannot ask me to leave her.
Then I will choose for you.
Mama!
No! Please, don't. I will do it. I'll leave with you.
We must go now.
But, Laura.
Don't worry. I am sure you will see her again. Someday.
Mama! My dear Laura, are you all right?
I must have been dreaming.
Asleep in your Shakespeare again? What will your Romeo think?
Let's pray he did not notice. Usually I find him most engaging, but I feel quite the somnambulist today.
Well, look lively, my dear. You are being observed. What's this now? The third visit from General Spielsdorf this summer?
The general is father's dear friend from the war.
Oh, yes. And I'm sure he's only coming 20 miles by horseback to relive their glory fighting that little Frenchman. Yet for some reason, they keep looking over here at you, my dear.
Why should they be interested in me? Maybe they're talking about you.
Yes, being inundated with tales of the old doctor's undying love for me.
And your amazing crumpets, Madame Perrigon.
That old geezer wouldn't know what to do with my crumpets. Good afternoon, General.
Good afternoon, dear ladies.
Dear Dr. Hesselius, I trust you found your muffins well buttered at tea.
Oh, they were indeed delectable, Madame Perrigon, and I confess that I may have overindulged in more than I should.
Laura, is it not a beautiful day?
Actually, I think a storm is coming, General. Should you not be on your way back to your Schloss?
Oh, Laura, my dear. Such manners. The general has come all this way to visit us, and you would have him leave before tea time? I'm sorry, old boy. My daughter's sage governess and I have as much control as you might expect over a rather spoiled girl, whose only parent allows her pretty nearly her own way in everything.
Nonsense. I admire her spirit. Do not fault yourself, my good friend. I also find it impossible to say no to my dear niece Berta.
How is your ward, General?
You did not forget your promise to bring her for a visit.
Of course not. Despite her stubborn illness, Berta has done nothing but talk about you and read your sweet letters over and over again.
I am so sorry she is unwell. I wondered why I had not heard from her as of late.
I'm afraid she's been very much occupied with this blasted weakness. And a rather troublesome house guest.
Guest? Are you running an inn now, old
boy? It rather feels like it, but never mind that. My own folly. It's all taken care of now.
There seems to be something foul in the air. And you would do well to keep yourself strong and healthy, Miss Laura. You know how susceptible you are to elements and spells.
Thank you for your concern, Doctor, but I am feeling quite fine.
I am glad to hear it. And now that your father has decided to loan the good doctor to us, I have high hopes for a full recovery for my Berta. And I will return with her as soon as she is up to it. Laura, you may rest assured that you are never far from both of our thoughts. I'm eager for you to be fast friends.
I'm sure we will be, General. I feel as if we are already the best of friends.
Come, Doctor. We should be getting back. Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye, General.
Berta, I have come for you.
Milarca, you came! I'm feeling so sick. I'm scared.
I will take this illness away.
No! Stop! Stop! Stop!
You dare to draw my blood. Foolish girl, you will pay for that.
Your face! You're a monster! I see you now! My illness, it's because of you! You did this to me, to the others, didn't you? You
Silence!
Berta! Dear God, unhand her, you monster! No! No! Berta! Doctor! Hurry! She's been attacked!
Good God, what beast could have done this?
Don't just stand there, do something!
I'm afraid there is nothing to be done.
You must save her!
I'm sorry, my friend. She is gone.
Laura?
Yes, Father?
Can I get you more tea? Something to perk you up, lest you end up face down in Madame Peridon's delicious treacle.
I've had 4 cups already.
This one drinks like an Egyptian camel.
I'm sorry, I just don't know what has come over me lately.
As long as you don't bite or spit. I had the unfortunate privilege of minding a sheik's camel once in the service. The damned beast ruined my best boots. Disgusting animals. But don't be so hard on yourself, Laura. I, too, am finding it difficult to stay awake, since Madame Peridon chooses her cards with the haste of a garden snail.
Slow and steady wins the race.
You do have many traits in common with the tortoise.
Aren't we quite the menagerie tonight?
A camel, a tortoise, and...
a sly fox. Another round to me. Allow me. And Madame Peridon, feel free to get a good look at my cards while I'm gone. I know you always do.
Perhaps it's an advance letter from the General with news of the much anticipated Miss Berta Reinfeldt.
Oh, I hope so. I am so excited. I've never had a guest before.
To be sure, we are all excited to have a new addition to our merry band. We've not seen a new face in some months. When your father brought me on here, he said the social resources were limited. He failed to mention the nearest inhabited village was some 5 miles hence and consisted of 5 farmers with about 20 teeth between them, a pack of wolves, a ruined castle, and an equally ruined schloss owned by the general with possibly less teeth than the peasants combined.
Oh, now you are just being unkind. The general is not missing teeth.
Oh, so you've noticed. As well you should, since he's always smiling at you like a cat who ate the canary. If he and your father have their way, you'll soon be mistress over that pile of rubble.
But he's as old as father. What interest could he have in me? I'm barely 19.
Oh dear, you are so sweet and so unfamiliar with the ways of men. You behave as if you have a choice in your future, which is a very precarious thing. You could be married to your father's best friend, a relatively wealthy, respectable, and handsome man. Though from what I've heard from the village girls, he's not that respectable in private.
Madame Peridon!
You don't want to end up like me, do you? An old bird who'd be more than happy to entertain the deviant desires of a well-whiskered war hero.
I could work the brothels of Vienna.
As your sole caretaker, I am obliged to tell you that the best brothels are in Paris.
I'll keep that in mind. But all jests aside, I know that should I not marry, I could end up doing just that. Father's wealth, meager but adequate for Styria, will not pass to me on his death. My options seem slim, and all outcomes are undesirable at this point. There is something highly demoralizing about being valued only slightly above one's land, horse, and sword.
But is the general entirely undesirable to you?
No, not entirely. Despite the differences in our age, he is pleasant enough and seems kind. But sometimes when he looks at me, I don't know, something in me just recoils. And how can I make a decision on a husband when my total exposure to the opposite sex can be counted on one hand?
There's the general, the ranger, oh, and the doctor.
Oh, he's the man for me.
And he's already seen you without your knickers on.
You are incorrigible. If father only knew what manners and ideas you were actually teaching me.
Oxford could do no better. But there are 2 more on your potential suitor list.
Don't forget Martin.
The Hunchback Tinker. A sweet soul, but I'm afraid you cannot have him, for we are in love.
But I thought the doctor had sworn his undying affections to your baked goods.
What can I say? My strudel is a thing of legend in these parts. But enough about my romantic escapades. I imagine you've saved the best for last.
Yes, see how you blush?
Tell your spinster gouvernante. Give me a vicarious taste of young, forbidden love.
The painter's assistant, Henri.
Oh, yes. Well, I am sad to say that he is also in love with me.
So you mean to take every man in Styria for yourself and leave not a scrap for the rest?
I cannot help if Monsieur Henri likes his ladies with a bit of meat on their bones.
Grizzled, stringy meat. Father, what is it?
I'm afraid General Spalsdorf cannot come to us as soon as I had hoped.
Oh no. I was so looking forward to meeting Miss Berta in person. From our letters, I had promised myself many happy days in her society. But when can they come?
I don't expect the general until autumn, I dare say. I'm very glad now, dear, that you never knew Mademoiselle Rheinfeld.
Why?
Because the poor young lady is dead. Here's the general's letter. I'm afraid he is much affected by her death. The letter appears to have been written with haste and great distraction.
I have lost my darling daughter. For as such I loved her.
At our last visit, I did not think to reveal to you all that had happened during the last days of dear Berta's illness. I had no idea of her danger and would never have left her bedside for a moment had I but known. I have lost her, and now learn all too late. Dr. Hesselius has assured me her innocence remained. Praise God, she died in the peace of virtue. The fiend who betrayed our infatuated hospitality has done it all. I thought I was receiving into my house a charming companion for my lost Berta. Heavens, what a fool I have been. I thank God my child died without knowing the sinister cause of her sufferings. Neither she nor I understood the nature of her illness, nor did we realize the accursed passion of the agent of all this misery. I now devote my remaining days to tracking and extinguishing this unnatural monster. The doctor has told me how I may hope to accomplish my righteous and merciful purpose. I curse my conceited incredulity, my despicable affection of superiority, my blindness, my obstinacy, all too late. I cannot write or talk collectively now. Sometime in the autumn, I will see you. Pray for me, dear friend.
The moonlight is exquisite this evening. Look how the thin film of mist steals like smoke, and the river faintly flashes in its silvery splendor.
Laura, I beg you to put your bonnet back on. You as well, sir. You're taking your lives in your hands by letting the full moon's rays shine on those uncovered heads.
My mother used to say that a moon like this was an indicator of special spiritual activity.
Did she also put biscuits out for the fairy?
Of course. She explained the full moon's effect in such a state of brilliancy is manifold. It acts on dreams, it acts on lunacy, and it acts on nervous people. It's connected with life.
Oh, swear not by the moon, the fickle moon, the inconstant moon.
I've a cousin who was mate on a merchant ship. He took a nap out on deck on such a night like this one, lying on his back with his face full in the light of the moon. He woke up screaming from a dream of an old hag woman, clawing him by the cheek and sitting on his chest, sucking the very air from his lungs.
What happened to him?
His face and eyes were all filled with blood, and his features horribly drawn to one side. To this day, he can hardly move the whole left side of his body, and he never goes out in the moonlight anymore.
The moon this night is full of magnetic influence. Makes you see things at the corners of your eyes, like your cousin succubi, or the Valkyrie maidens the soldiers spoke of while they lay dying on the battlefields of France. And see, when you look behind you at the front of the castle, how all its windows flash and twinkle with that silvery splendor, as if unseen hands had lit up the rooms to receive fairy guests.
Maybe the fairies will finish dusting those cabinets.
No softer, sweeter scene could be imagined, despite the melancholy news.
Listen to me. I'm talking utter nonsense. It seems I've gotten into one of my moping moods tonight. In truth, I know not why I am so sad. It wearies me. You say it wearies you, but how I got it came by it. I forget the rest. But I feel as if some great misfortune were hanging over us. I suppose the poor general's afflicted letter has had something to do with it.
What is that?
The parrot?
Yes, they're at the bridge. The leader has taken fright.
They are taking the summit too quickly.
It's going to overturn.
Oh!
Laura, help the young woman on the ground. Peridon, assist me with the woman in the carriage. I'll check the foot.
I am unharmed. The horse was startled. I could not stop him.
Please, send for the doctor.
Right away, sir.
Let me assist you, madame. Are you hurt?
My child! My child!
She will not wake, father. Is she all right? She has not died.
She's already gone.
I assure you, madame, her pulse, though faint and irregular, is undoubtedly still distinguishable. Your daughter is merely stunned. With a little rest, she'll be able to travel in no time.
Was there ever a being so born to calamity? Here am I on a journey of life and death, and prosecuting which to lose an hour is possibly to lose all.
Madame, allow me to render aid in the resources of my chateau. A messenger can be sent ahead.
Oh, sir, you are too kind. You always were.
Pardon? Have we met? Forgive me, but your veil conceals your identity very well.
For good reason, sir. My situation is urgent.
dangerous. I cannot, dare not delay. But my child will not have recovered sufficiently to resume her route for who can say how long. How far on, sir, can you tell, is the nearest village?
It's some 5 leagues.
I must leave her there, and shall not see my darling or even hear of her till my return 3 months hence.
Oh, she cannot stay there. Papa, pray ask her to let her daughter stay with us.
Laura.
It would be so delightful. We can watch over her until she is able to make the journey.
Yes, of course, Laura. If Madame will entrust her child to the care of my daughter and her good gouvernante.
I cannot do that, sir.
I assure you, we shall treat her with all the care and devotion which so sacred a trust deserves.
It would task your generosity and chivalry too much.
It would, on the contrary, confer on us a very great kindness at the moment when we most need it. My daughter has just been disappointed by a cruel misfortune, in a visit from which she had long anticipated a great deal of happiness. A potential companion has tragically died.
Oh, poor child.
If you confide this young lady to our care, it will be her best consolation. The nearest village on your route is distant, and affords no such inn as you could think of placing your daughter at, and it seems that you cannot allow her to continue her journey for any considerable distance without danger. If, as you say, you cannot suspend your journey, you must part with her tonight, then nowhere could you do so with more honest assurances of care and tenderness than here.
I must confess.
Madame, we must leave without delay.
But your carriage is destroyed. How will you travel?
You see, sir, the carriage is fine. The horse is calm.
How on earth did you do that? What is going on?
Listen to my voice.
Yes, madame.
Come closer, and I will whisper in your ear.
Madame, we must obey.
Where is Mama? Where is Matska?
There, young miss. Your mother has departed on some urgent matters. She'll be back for you soon.
Where am I? What is this place? I don't see the carriage, and Mama, where is she?
Don't worry. You are in our care now.
Give her some time, my dear. It's all so overwhelming for the poor girl right now. Patience. Let the doctor tend to her first. I'll help her to the chateau. It looks as if she has dropped something there. Can you fetch it, then bring some tea up to the guest room?
Of course, Father. What a lovely handkerchief. C.M. Are those her initials? Never has something so exciting happened. What a night!
Sweet Goddess, give me help. Holy Goddess, give me luck and grace wherever I go. And help me, Goddess, powerful and immaculate from ugly men, that I may go in the road to the place I purpose. Help me, Goddess, forsake me not, Goddess, but I pray for God's sake. Girl, where did you come from? What happened to you? Don't you hear the beast in the forest? It is not safe. You look like a mooly.
Mooly?
Mooly, is it evident? You look as if you've crawled from your grave. Come, I don't hear the beast anymore. I will take you up to the chateau. They have a doctor. Goddess, help me! Mooly! Oh, fire!
Why have you stopped the carriage, Matska? Did I not perform well?
You are to be replaced.
What do you mean? I have done everything she has asked of me.
You can no longer be trusted.
You mean to drive that stake through my heart?
She has ordered me to put you down.
Oh, but you are a most loyal monster.
What is that? A feral beast? No matter. No one can help you now. What is this? Is that foolish girl?
Is that you, Berta?
She has changed.
Well, Matska, it seems I am not the only disobedient child rebelling against her maker.
You will pay for your treachery.
No, it is you who will pay. Now, Berta, we fight. Berta, give me that stake. Hold him down. Berta, thank you for your help. Easy, dear girl. Do you remember me?
Mm-hmm.
I understand your pain and your hunger. It is overwhelming. You can trust me. I'm no longer with her. She is all alone now.
Mm-hmm. Alone?
No. You are not alone now. We will take care of one another.
Tea, sir?
Yes, thank you, Madame Peridon.
How do you like our guest, Father? Tell me all about her. How is she feeling? Will she recover?
Calm yourself, girl. The doctor is with her now, but I think she will recover.
Well, I like her extremely. She is, I almost think, the prettiest creature I ever saw. About your age, and ever so gentle and nice.
She is beautiful indeed.
And such a sweet voice.
What an incredible evening. The young lady's mother was quite remarkable. Both wore such heavy veils that it was impossible to get a good look at their faces, though.
I can't get her out of my mind. There was something in the lady's air and voice to make one think that she is a woman of consequence.
Did you notice what an ill-looking creature that footman was?
Yes, ugly, hangdog-looking fellow as I ever beheld in my life. I hope he mayn't rob the poor lady in the forest. A clever rogue, however. He got that carriage to rides in a minute.
I dare say he was worn out with too long traveling.
Besides looking wicked, his face was so strangely lean and dark and sullen. I'm very curious.
I'm sure the young lady will tell you all about it tomorrow, if she is sufficiently recovered.
I don't think she will tell you, actually.
What do you mean, Papa?
There's no particular reason why I should not tell you. You heard how her mother expressed a reluctance to trouble us with the care of her daughter, saying she was in delicate health and nervous, but not subject to any kind of seizure. She volunteered that, nor to any illusion, being in fact perfectly sane.
How very odd to say all that, and so unnecessary.
Even still, it was said, and since you wished all to know all that passed, which was indeed very little, she then said, I am making a long journey of vital importance. She emphasized the word, rapid and secret. I shall return for my child in 3 months. In the meantime, she will be silent as to who we are, whence we come, and whither we are traveling. That is all she said. When she said the word secret, she paused for a few seconds, looking sternly, her eyes fixed on mine. I fancy she makes a great point of that. You saw how quickly she was gone. I hope I have not done a very foolish thing in taking charge of the young lady.
That's all. You were in deep conversation with the lady for some time.
We were? That is odd.
Indeed. And your face, Father, you looked transfixed. Like when the old peasant woman brings around her glass ball to tell fortunes.
Well, she had a very handsome figure, and I'm afraid I am not immune to feminine wiles, even at my advanced age. I can't help but shake this feeling that I know the woman from somewhere. Of course, she would neither confirm nor deny my suspicions.
Pardon me for interrupting.
Oh, nonsense! Well, give us a report, good man. How is our lovely-looking house guest?
The patient is doing favorably. She is now sitting up, her pulse quite regular. She has sustained no injury, and the little shock to her nerves has passed away quite harmlessly. There could be no harm, certainly, in your seeing her, Miss Lauda, if you both wished it. She's getting some air on the garden path.
Oh!
Hello there, Miss. I don't mean to disturb you. I came to meet you properly. I'm Lauda.
How wonderful to meet you, but I must confess that I have the oddest feeling that we have met before. I don't know how it is possible, but 12 years ago I saw your face in a dream, and it has haunted me ever since.
Wonderful, indeed. In vision or reality, I feel certain that I've seen you, too. I could not forget your face. It has remained before my eyes ever since.
I must tell you about my dream. It is so very strange that you and I should have so vivid a dream of each other. I was a child, about 6 years old, and I awoke from a confused and troubled dream and found myself in a strange room. The beds were, I thought, all empty, and I, after looking about me for some time, and admiring an especially lovely portrait of a stunning beauty which I should certainly know again
to be... That must be the painting of my poor mother.
Is it? I should like to see it again.
It hung in my nursery until just 3 weeks ago when my father sent it off to be restored with the rest of the chateau's art. But how is this possible? How could you know these things? Tell me more.
I sense that you can tell it as well as I can. I crept to the window, and while trying to leave, I heard someone crying. And I saw you, most assuredly you, as I see you now, a beautiful young lady with golden hair and large blue eyes and lips. Oh, your lips. You, as you are here, your looks won me over. I climbed on the bed and put my arms about you, and I think we both fell asleep. I awoke to you screaming. Frightened, I slipped down upon the ground, and it seemed to me lost consciousness for a moment. And when I came to myself, I was again in my own nursery at home. But your face, I have never forgotten since. I could not be misled by mere resemblance. You are the lady whom I saw then.
My tale is like a mirror, only in my dreams you are the young woman, and I am the child.
I don't know which should be most afraid of the other. If you were less pretty, then I think I should be very much afraid of you. But being as you are, and you and I both so young, I feel only that I have made your acquaintance 12 years ago and have already a right to your intimacy. At all events, it does seem as if we were destined from our earliest childhood to be friends.
I've never had a real friend. Just my gouvernante and the odd game of skip rope with the peasant girls. I had hopes for a companion, Berta, but she was taken by a horrible illness.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Both that you have lost a potential friend and that such a sweet girl has never had a confidant, which is every girl's right. Oh, don't cry, my dear. Oh, dear, I seem to have lost my handkerchief.
Here it is. You dropped it. It smells of lilacs. It's very pretty and seems quite old.
A family heirloom. You are so sweet to have saved it for me. I wonder whether you feel as strangely drawn towards me as I do to you. I confess that I've never had a friend either. Shall I find one now in you, dear Lauda?
I was beginning to wonder if I would ever smile again. And here you are as an answer to a dream.
Oh, all this excitement. Lauda, dear, do you think you could run ahead and get your governess to prepare some tea for me? I need something to soothe my nerves before bed.
Of course, but you must allow me to assist you back into the
chateau. Oh, that is not necessary. I just need a moment to myself.
All right. Good night.
Come out. She is gone. Show yourself. You.
Expecting someone else?
Where is Matska?
I'm afraid your Matska had an accident. But do not worry. I'm safe.
Then why have you returned?
I will not let you have her. Not this one. Not my child.
Why not? She is like any other.
Have you no heart?
My heart has been dead for 200 years. There is only the hunt.
After all that I have already sacrificed for you, I am to be replaced.
Is that not what you wanted? You think I have not noticed your attempts to sabotage me? I have no more use for you. Now leave before you are recognized.
I'm here to tell you. The hunter is about to become prey.
What do you mean?
I've seen her, the general's niece. Like a feral beast in the woods.
Berta has changed?
That was not in your plans, was it? She's coming for you, and leaving a trail of bodies in her wake. I remember that horrible lust for living blood. It will never desist until it has satiated its passion and drained the very life of its coveted victim. And she is coming
for you. Shut your mouth, woman.
I've watched your game, having fallen prey to it myself for years now. The fascination, the pursuit, the stratagem. You like that part the best. You protract murderous enjoyment with the refinement of an epicure, but you heighten its flavors by an artful courtship yearning for sympathy and consent. You want their love first before their blood. A most cruel betrayal.
Are you telling me that you didn't enjoy it? You have the same needs as I do.
Not anymore. Now I take what I need to live. If you can call this living. You take more. But your time is coming. The wolves will be at the gate sooner than you think.
You should watch your tone with me. I can still recall how you once begged to be freed from your gilded cage.
If this is freedom, I will take death instead. There is no love here. Only sacrifice.
Hello there.
You came back for me. What is it, my dear?
I just realized you haven't even told me your name yet.
My name is Carmilla.
Thank you.